You might turn your Bibles if you will to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37, or Psalm 37, I should say. Psalm 37. And been going through the Psalms and looking for verses and passages about our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, all the scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed. This message doesn't fall under that series, but it does point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take a look at the words in the scripture about our relationship to the Lord, our necessity of the Lord. And, faith is a word that is used in the scripture. We have faith in our Lord, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, faithfulness. He was faithful to the Father and what the Lord had given him to do. We believe him. Those that have faith in the Lord, they believe him and what he says. We rest in our Lord, which we will get to in this passage. But then there's also this word trust that's related to that. Believe is another one of those words associated with faith. We believe him. We have faith in him. But then there's this word in the scripture, trust. And I heard someone years ago, it may have been my mother-in-law, conveyed how it was about trust, a good way to think about it. When you came in today and you came into the church house, and we all typically sit in the place where we sit. We've got our self-assigned seats, which there's nothing wrong with that. But that's just the way that we are. We're comfortable sitting where we sit. When you sat down on the pew, did you have any consideration that it wouldn't hold you up? You trusted it, didn't you? You believed fully that it would hold you up, that it wouldn't collapse, it wouldn't fall over or put you up against the wall or dump you out in the floor. But you trusted it. Trusted it that it was well built and strong enough to hold you up. And we have experience with it because we sit on the pews that we sit on. And so we have trust that way. But then when folks came into the fellowship meeting on Friday, I don't think that we had anybody that kind of looked at the pews and kind of checked them out and maybe led their family from one pew to another pew saying, I don't know about that one, but let's sit over here on that one. You probably experienced chairs and stuff like that. But everybody sat down fully expecting for the pew to hold them up, not cause any issue, not cause any problems. I think that's a good descriptor, a good understanding of trust. We trust the pew to do what it's built and designed to do. We don't even give it a second thought about sitting down in it and it letting us down or injuring us in any way, do we? Well, so it is with our Lord. We can trust him. Brother David, he writes here in Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And, you know, that's a good message for you and I today. "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." In our day, in our culture, our land, they seem to be having their way. And that can cause us to get very upset. And I think that we ought to have a good pursuit and idea of the way things should be and the pursuit of righteousness. I like what the brother prayed, and I've been praying along that line recently too, that the workers of iniquity would fall into their own pit, that evildoers, that their evil way would come back upon them. I don't think that that's wrong. We desire for people to be saved, and we should, to be turned from their wicked way. But before their wicked way overcomes the innocent, may they fall into their own pit, and may the Lord deal with them according to their iniquity. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." You most of us most likely mowed or weed-eated grass this week. There's a picture. "And wither is the green herb." Once you cut it, it starts dying. The sap goes out of it. And the psalmist reminds us that they're going to be cut down. The wicked workers of iniquity are going to be cut down that way. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Obey Him. That's what that doing good is talking about. Obey Him. Obey Him in His word and His command. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. It goes on to say in this psalm, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is the first of a handful of messages to give us understanding about the aspects or the facets of trust. And I think our brother and the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God lays out for us about the facets and the aspects of trust. But first this morning, let us take a look at this that he declares in verse number 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. When we take a look at this word in the Hebrew and how it is used and how it is translated in our Bibles, the word itself in proper sense means to hide for refuge. If you are running from someone and you find a wall or a hedge to hide behind, you have trust that that will hide you from the pursuer. You don't step behind there thinking that, well, I'll just try this. But the wall, the covert, the thing that is at hand, gives a refuge. This word trust speaks about that. As it was, as I mentioned about the pew earlier, we have confidence. That is another word in regards to trust. We have confidence that the pew will hold us up. That word confidence and confident is there. Another word that talks to us about trust is security. I would imagine most of us lock our doors at night. We just do so. You lock the front door. You lock the back door. You check them before you go to bed, typically. We do that for the sake of security. The real bad mean evil guy, it won't keep them out, but it'll keep others out that are just looking to prowl around and go in to something, as an example. Trust speaks about security and sureness, confidence. Trust also speaks about hope. We have great hope in our Lord and the promises that He has made unto us. We trust Him in those things. He's faithful to fulfill them. You know, we want to take a look in the scripture here quickly and understand about the folly of trusting in the world. It is folly to trust in the world because the world can't be depended upon. A man can't be depended on. The world system and the way of man just cannot be depended upon. I found this interesting as Rabshakeh, he's a general of the king of Assyria, and he's coming down and dealing with Hezekiah and the nation there, Judah, and the southern kingdom. And he comes down, and you maybe remember that account in 2 Kings. It's also iterated in Isaiah 36, where he comes down there and he speaks very loudly. And one of the priests comes down, and one of those that are near to Hezekiah come down and listen to him. And they ask him to speak in another tongue so that it might not be known to the people what he says. He makes a great railing accusation against the Lord, ultimately. You remember that account. 2 Kings 18. And he says something here that is very, very true about the world. He says in verse number 21 of 2 Kings 18, he says, "And now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust in him." Now, Egypt is a type in the scripture of the world, isn't it? And he says this regarding the way of the of Judah in time past, how they looked to Egypt for help and for deliverance. And what a picture that he gives there, a bruised reed. I mean, it's already broken itself. And if you lean on it, it'll do nothing but damage unto you, piercing even into your hand. And he was railing upon Judah and upon Hezekiah. But that is the way the world is. That is indeed the way the world is. The psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse number 10, "Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." The way of the world is wicked, and here oppression of people and the robbing of people. It is just a terrible, terrible thing. But there are those that trust in that. And I saw recently about how it was over in India, how there's groups and companies upon companies that are just looking to scam people, scam old people, and take their money from them by locking up their computer or saying that they've got something wrong with a vehicle or so on, all kinds of different things that they're dreaming up. And those people trust in that way. But it will come to a bitter, bitter end. The psalmist declares in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because man will fail in the way of man indeed. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." We all politically have our idea and thinking about how we would like the election to go, locally, in our state, and nationally. But I tell you what, we better be praying to the Lord to be helpful and merciful unto us, because any help that will come in our nation, in the terrible way of our nation, is only going to be from the Lord. It's not going to be only from a man. The Lord uses man and he uses means, but we need the power of the Lord behind it. It's folly to trust in the Lord. The Lord speaks to Judah and Israel in Isaiah 30, verse number 2. He talks about those that walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That's the way it is, trusting in a man. It's like a shadow. Who would look to a shadow to help them? The witness of the darkness on the ground, the figure upon the ground from a light behind of a man to say, "Help me." That's the way it is, trusting in the world and the way of man. The Lord says, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." And we've got a lot of that going on in government these days, don't we? Trusting in shadows. Trusting in ideas, confusion of face, and delusion at hand. The Lord goes on to say in verse 12 of Isaiah 30, "Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, his word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking forth suddenly at an instant." It's a wall that's been compromised and collapsed, and it's bulging out. He said, trusting in these things, oppression and perverseness, that's how it will come upon you. That wall breaking suddenly and causing great destruction. He goes in the next chapter in Isaiah saying about those that trust in horses and in chariots. You know, we have a great temptation in our nation to trust in our military, and I'm glad for our military. I'm thankful for our military. But our military is not going to be our salvation from the oppression of the world. The Lord may use our military to be so, but if our Lord doesn't bless our military, it can fall in a day. Trusting in the world is folly, folly indeed. Isaiah continues on and talks about the trusting of Egypt for chariots and horsemen. Graven images. You know, there's much written in the scripture about trust. Trusting in paganism and in images, as it is in so much of the world. Trusting in vanity. Trusting in lying words, Brother Jeremiah declares. We have a lot of that today, don't we? A people and of our nation, I believe, trusting in lying words. A politic that's willing just to say anything to get folks to vote for them, knowing full well that what they say cannot be brought to pass. It's just mind-boggling that it could be this way. And it's mentioned in Jeremiah 7 over and over again. Trusting in the artifact of religion. It's folly. Religion will leave a person at death. When it comes time to die and to pass on to the life to come, religion will say, I can go no farther. You need a Savior. Trusting in a brother, Jeremiah talks about, and trusting in lies. So much that is mentioned about trusting in the scripture. In Jeremiah 46, verse number 25, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and with their kings, even Pharaoh and all that trust in him. Brother Ezekiel speaks about trusting in beauty, trusting in a person's own righteousness, trusting in their own way, Brother Hosea speaks about. Trusting in the mountain of Samaria, Brother Amos speaks about. Trusting in riches, our Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse number 24, when the disciples were astonished at his word, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? May the Lord help us to know that trusting in the world is folly indeed. And listen to what the Lord says in John 5:45. I've titled this passage, So Close, But Yet So Far. John 5:45, our Lord Jesus says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. They trusted in the man, not the God of the man. So close. And he was a righteous man, a holy man of God. He was a man, a sinner, saved by the Lord. But so close, but yet so far. Because they did not trust in the Lord. As we walk down through the scriptures, there's so many that are manifested and told about and their trust unto the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 5:20, it tells us here about the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh. As they went out to battle, they were under a great fight and against the Hagarites and Ishmael's mama's crowd. And they were in a fierce battle, and they cried unto the Lord. And the scripture says, and he, God, was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. In the midst of the fight, the Lord rescued them. Brother Job trusted our Lord, didn't he? In Job 13:15, though he slay me, speaking of our Lord, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Ruth, the Moabitess, in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, a near kin to Brother David, Sister Ruth, in chapter 2, verse number 12, Boaz speaks unto her, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She trusted him. She forsook all of that of Moab, and was blessed to know and understand that God is the Savior. And she trusted in Him. You know, the psalmist trusted in our Lord. In Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11, he declares, "O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." It was emphatic, a triple emphasis. Trust in the Lord. Have confidence in Him. Look to Him. Be sure in Him. In Psalm 119:42, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." He trusts in the word of the Lord. In Psalm 125, verse number 1, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." I thought that was kind of interesting because There's new findings that by near the time of the Maccabees, just maybe a little bit before, because Mount Zion, which is south of the Temple Mount, was desecrated by the Gentiles, it is believed that the entire Mount Zion was dug up and carried away to fill in the valley there to the west, and David's tomb was moved. But you know what? Mount Zion's going to stand. No matter what the Gentiles have done, Zion will stand. "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, because the Lord will build His city and His mount." Brother David trusted our Lord, didn't he? In 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior." Look at all those things, all those aspects that David said his trust was in the Lord regarding. Salvation, shield, high tower, Savior. "Thou savest me from violence." In 22 verse 31, 2 Samuel 22 verse 31, David says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." David was a fighting man. He fought in fighting terms and in warfare and in battling. And he says, "The Lord is a buckler. He is a strength and a protection indeed." In Psalm 7, verse number 1, "O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me." His trust was in the Lord indeed. "Preserve me, O God," in Psalm 16:1, "for in Thee do I put my trust." You know, David iterated that to the Lord. How many times? When was the last time that you and I said and prayed unto the Lord, "I trust in You, Lord. Help me. Deliver me, strengthen me. Thank You for all that You've done." In Psalm 17:7, Brother David says, "Show Thy marvelous loving kindness, O Thou that savest by Thy right hand them which put their trust in Thee from those that rise up against them." In Psalm 20, verse number 7, Brother David declares, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." In Psalm 31, verse number 1, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness." So much that David wrote regarding trusting in the Lord and an admonition to the saints to trust in the Lord. In Psalm 52:8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." "But Thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit," speaking of the evil, of the wicked, "of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in Thee." Psalm 56:11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." May God help us in that. In Thee, O Lord, Psalm 71:1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In verse 5, he goes on to say, For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Brother Asaph trusted in our Lord. In Psalm 73, verse 28, But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. In Psalm 91, verse 2, Brother Asaph writes, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Brother Solomon, he instructed his children to trust in our Lord. In Proverbs 3, 5, he says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In Proverbs 28, verse 25, He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And in verse 25 also of Proverbs 29, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Brother Ager trusted in our Lord. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. You know, that's the thing about looking at this is the different aspects in which these writers, under the inspiration of the Lord, put and what was at their before their eyes and before their hearts and minds about how they trusted the Lord. Shield, buckler, defense, help, strength, salvation. Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, there in Jeremiah's day, he was the one that rescued Jeremiah out of the pit. He trusted our Lord and delivered Jeremiah. Our Lord said regarding him in Jeremiah 39:18, For I will surely deliver thee, he says to this man, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, meaning he'll be rescued, he'll be plucked out from destruction, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. And that's regarding what he did for Jeremiah. He ventured his life. And then in the New Testament, we see that the Gentiles have trusted our Lord, haven't they? It's reiterated in Matthew 12:21 from the Old Testament, and in His name, in Jesus' name, shall the Gentiles trust. What is our life without the Lord Jesus Christ? What is our help and our hope, being the children of God, without our Lord Jesus Christ? We put our trust in Him. It says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee, speaking of Israel, an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. There's some scholars that believe that this is referring to the church age, and as the Lord comes and He rescues Israel, the context of this chapter in Zephaniah, that because of the church age and the Lord saving Gentiles in that this afflicted and poor people is an indication of the saints from the Gentiles. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. We do. As Brother Bobby read it this morning, we've been brought a long way. We were not that nation upon which the Lord set His love and affection upon. Remember what James says in James chapter 2, verse number 5? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? But see, in and of ourselves, as Gentiles, without the Lord, we are poor, poor indeed. But we have been made rich by our Lord Jesus Christ. The saints trust in the Lord. In Psalm 2:12, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, Psalm 4:5, and put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. And let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. I think of Brother David, girt with a linen ephod or with a linen garment, as he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city, and how he danced. He rejoiced in the Lord in simplicity, and it was a shame to his wife. But he openly showed his rejoicing and his joy before the Lord. We are admonished in the Scripture to not trust in ourselves, but in our Lord alone. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, Paul writes, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Why shouldn't we trust in Him? He raises the dead to life, which is what He has done for us. And may we remember that. In 2 Corinthians 3:4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We trust in Him who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Trusting in our Lord. You know, Israel will trust our Lord. In Isaiah 12, verses 1 and 2, and in that day thou shalt say, speaking of Israel, the Lord saying this to Israel, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. This is Israel speaking. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Israel will trust in our Lord. In Isaiah 14:32, what shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of His people shall trust in it. Israel will trust. And you know, the Lord commands, we've seen all these examples, and there's many, many more. I've just read a few of them. The Scripture is so chock full of them. The Lord commands mankind to trust in Him. And remember the example that I gave in the building. Just like sitting on that pew, trust the Lord in what He says. Not self, not doubt, but trust Him. In Isaiah 26, verse number 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. In chapter 51 of Isaiah, verse number 5, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Trust in the Lord. I like this in Isaiah 57, verse 13, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. Listen. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land. I want you to hang on to that. I want you to remember that. And shall inherit my holy mountain. I like what Brother Nahum says in Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Not a feigned faith, but trust in Him. Rest in Him. Depend on Him in every way. In our text there in Psalm 37, in verse number 3, Brother David declares unto us and admonishes us, trust in the Lord and do good. And do you remember the last part of the verse? So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know what he says for those that trust in him? That there'll be a future. There'll be a future. For the unrepentant and unbelieving, their future and their eternity is in hell and the lake of fire, separated from God with nothing. Not even the sun coming up. Not even the rain falling anymore. Not even the prospect of vision to look upon the creation and to look upon fellow man and family. Not even the prospect of companionship and friendship and the love experienced in a home and a family. Not even the prospect to be able to work and to do and pursue. But nothing but torment and darkness and separation from God. It's a future, but it's no future. But you know what the Lord says to those that trust in Him? He says He'll give them a land to dwell in, and thou shalt be fed. You know, Israel was delivered from a land to a land, weren't they? Brought out of bondage in Egypt and brought to the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey, right? So typical and so telling about the Lord and salvation. He did that for the nation, and He will do that for His nation, but it also speaks about what He's doing for His children, too. Are we not promised a new heaven and a new earth? An eternal land. An eternal land. And we'll eat with our Lord and be with our Lord. I just remind you of that because that's what He says. The marriage supper of the Lamb and the Lord, where the Lord talks about how He will gird Himself in service, which is hard for us to even imagine. We sing about it, and it comes from those passages that the Lord says. And isn't that what the Lord preached? Isn't that what He preached there on the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. When He was set, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, Jim, how is it that the meek, how is it that the meek comes over to those that trust in the Lord? Well, the meek, they don't use their ability or their power for vengeance, do they? But they wait on the Lord because they trust in Him to take care of things that are just not ours to take care of. The meek, that's the way the Lord Jesus said it. The psalmist said it, trust in the Lord and do good. Be obedient to Him, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Trust in the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, trust in the Lord. And we who are saved, let us trust in the Lord. And let us take that in worship to our Lord. That we trust in Him. And that we would trust Him more than we have. May God help us.